This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. Yesterday, President Obama responded to a GOP critic, Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina, because the senator had claimed that Obama's health care reform might become his quote-unquote Waterloo. The president countered by saying that, quote, there are some in this town who are content to perpetuate the status quo. Are politics exposing frailties of the bills in dispute, or are those frailties giving rise to petty politics, or both? Finally, what are the more specific drawbacks and strengths that are perhaps getting lost in the maelstrom? Joining us for some analysis is Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste, a nonpartisan group whose mission statement is in their name. Tom, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Alan.
Good to have you. Now, as you heard me state, Obama's view is that those who fight his reform are by default in favor of the status quo. Are we really living in a universe in which folks cannot disagree on a remedy for a problem without being accused of supporting the problem?
Absolutely. It's become so partisan here in Washington that we can't find solutions to problems. We've seen it with Social Security reform. Everybody knows the program will be bankrupt in about 20 years. Medicare itself, of course, will be bankrupt far sooner than that, in about 10 years or less than 10 years, 2017. So here we have, just taking the broader entitlement question, massive liabilities for the government in the future. At the same time, this administration is essentially taking over the auto industry, telling people how to run their businesses, lending, I guess by last count, up to $24 trillion, according to the Inspector General for TARP, between all the programs in the government, you know, funding everything that goes on in America. So
$24 trillion, isn't that like more than twice the amount of our GDP?
Yeah, well,
year?
That number, by the way, is simply the potential liability. It's not what the government or taxpayers will have to pay or provide. It's the, you know, exposure, essentially, between all the loans and everything else. And it's honestly a whole different subject. But it's related to health care, because the numbers in healthcare are so dramatically larger, and everything that the president said about it has now been proven false, as in we will save money, Congressional Budget Office says that won't happen, as in we won't raise taxes, well, that's going to happen, whether it's $250,000 or less or whatever the number is, clearly people will have to pay more in one way or another. And we've been saying, you know, look, you've got a Medicare program that needs to be addressed before you start expanding the government into other areas of health care. I mean, why do we need a public plan? The public plan is Medicare. It's going broke. Do you not kind of get the fact that the government can't do this well?
And I want to get into that public option component in just a bit, but a quick aside, why would Senator DeMint say that this could be Obama's Waterloo? I mean, there's an old maxim in politics right. that says, when your opponents are hurting themselves, stay out of their way.
Yeah.
Now, once DeMint made the reference, he gave the president an excuse to detour the discussion onto yet another road of escapism. Do you think any of the senator's GOP brethren have perhaps had that talk with him?
Well, look, Senator DeMint's a good fiscal conservative, always speaks his mind. I'm not surprised that he said something like this. This is what members of Congress do, is they talk about how they feel about the size of the program, the extent of the program, and I think what Senator DeMint meant was, look, this is a very important battle that requires all of the resources that everybody who is opposed to the concept, opposed to the cost, opposed to the consequences, must get involved. Could he have picked a slightly different way to say it? Possibly, but
No big deal in the long run, okay.
No. Look, the merits are the merits, which is really what I meant to say in the beginning in response to your point about petty politics. Everybody can read this legislation. There's thousands of questions, basically, about what's going on here, not just a few questions. Does it really take away your choice of health care and getting a new plan? Well, technically, not really, but by regulation it will. I mean, you're going to be forced into the public plan. Will employers drop their coverage.
Let's actually talk a little bit about that, because right now Republicans aren't the only ones upset about the spending in these bills. Mm-hmm. Independents, along with moderate and centrist Democrats, they're also proving to be very, very resistant as well. Democrat Arkansas Congressman Mike Ross is upset about the public option component, as we've been discussing. He has said recently that he's got 10 Democrats on the House Energy and Commerce Committee to help stop it. But the Ways and Means, as well as the Education and Labor Committees, are comparatively more on board with the effort. If those two pass it, Energy and Commerce might not prove to be enough of a procedural impediment, but might they still prove to be enough of a political impediment? What's your sense of this?
Well, it's possible. On the other hand, cap and trade was in the same circumstances, and they prevailed on enough Democrats to get it through, even though 28 of them defected. That wasn't enough to stop the cap and trade bill. Now, the broader political issue is...
Well, it should be, just a quick another quick caveat, it should be cited that it has yet to pass muster in the Senate. We don't want people thinking that's
right. Well, and that that relates exactly to what I was going to say. They're not sure cap and trade will get through the Senate, and many of these members and these vulnerable freshman Democrats in traditionally Republican districts don't want another vote saying they're going to raise taxes or impose a massive new government burden, because if it doesn't have a chance to get through the Senate, they're very exposed after the cap and trade and subsequently the health care vote. So there are politics involved, there's substance involved, and the more that this gets out, the details in particular, the more people are looking around and saying, well, wait a second, the president is saying that you can keep your doctor, but that doesn't seem to be exactly what they're saying. And with this public plan, my employer may not keep it. And then you've got the other end of it, which is the small business owners are just outraged over this by the individual mandated coverage that will cost them up to 8% of their payroll.
Well, the simple, straightforward truth also is that as long as you have a public option component, regular private businesses can never adequately compete because they have to worry about meeting the solvency standards necessary to justify their existence, whereas with the government, of course, that is never a requirement.
Right.
Additionally, the public seems less and less enamored. Multiple surveys, including Rasmussen and the Washington Post ABC polls, have shown dramatic shifts against Obama on this issue, despite his personal scores really remaining high. Also, while Americans are more and more against Obama's reform, they still do support reform in much larger numbers. That has to be acknowledged. Now, what do you see as the viable compromises, if there really are any to be had?
Well, the Republicans have had a plan for many years, which would be to provide a voucher, provide some kind of tax credit or other ability for individuals to purchase their own health care plan. And I thought it was interesting that the number two Democrat in the House, Steny Hoyer of Maryland, when he was asked within the last 2 weeks, you know, would Congress go under the public plan, and he kind of laughed about it and said, look, we're not being covered that way. They have a great plan. And their great plan is a choice of private plans.
You remind me a bit of what RNC Chair Michael Steele was talking about. He argued recently that the president and Speaker Pelosi want this closed health care system. It's colossal. They want it to happen in a way in which Washington decides. He says that Republicans, they really prefer the patient-centered health care reform movement, as they call it. He thinks that's the best way to reduce health care costs bottom up. He further claims that it offers an open healthcare system where patients and doctors make decisions. The most prominent feature offered by Republicans in this scenario is that doctors and hospitals would post pricing and outcomes on the internet. But come on, are these really reforms as much as they are niceties? What's your take on that?
Well, in terms of the reforms, we all know that the U.S. spends a lot more than other countries per person in terms of healthcare. I think people exaggerate the quote-unquote bad outcomes, because a lot of people from Canada come here for certain treatments that they can't get there because they have to wait online for quite some time.
Yeah, but admittedly, on balance, they still, you know, for the most part, in survey after survey, prefer their health care, even though a lot of them have to come here because certain procedures aren't as adroitly managed. How do we deal with that factor when having this discussion?
Well, it's funny. You know, people say they hate Congress and love their member of Congress, or they hate the education system but love the local schools that they have. Well, unless you're in D.C. But in any event, generally, people like what they have because it's just human nature to not think that something you have is bad. So you can have a generalized view. The government wastes money. this earmark of the bridge snower is bad. But my congressman's building a sidewalk with gas tax money, and I love my new sidewalk. I mean, you see this whole kind of psychology of the issue.
Now, that's a fair point. So let's take a look at the two parties and really scan their mutual hypocrisy, and then I'll ask you to solve, well, the problems of the world, okay?
No problem.
Okay. Republicans, when you really take a close look at it analytically, Republicans have always stood for removing health care from the workplace. The argument has been that by managing health insurance as we do individually purchase car insurance, perhaps HMOs would be far more accommodating to customers because they'd be answerable to more of them. The logic is that efficacy rises and prices drop when companies are subjected to increased competition. But Republicans are constantly taking money from HMOs who want the direct antithesis, thus making the relationship almost beyond counterintuitive. On the other side, Democrats want low-cost health care for all Americans, but refuse to budge on the tort reform that could help facilitate the goal. Out of a slavish deference to the American Trial Lawyers Association, they're unwilling to diminish the number of frivolous lawsuits to which doctors are currently subjected, despite knowing that all of us would overwhelmingly benefit from the relief. So where do we go?
Well, you're right. Politics affects everything, which is why there's not always good policy, in particular now that it is so much more partisan in terms of what we get in Washington. But I think the president, when he insisted on this public plan, put in a huge roadblock to any kind of success. If he had just said, let's talk about it, let's see how it works, let me think about it, you know, he just said, I have to have that. Well, everyone knew what that meant. It goes right back to the old Hillary Care, which created this elaborate chart. You may have seen this put out by, I think, the Senate Republican Policy Committee. But there's one of these kind of Rube Goldberg-looking charts that describes how all this will be administered and how it would all look. And I think people are concerned that they would lose their ability to choose their own doctor. They like that idea. You know, never, don't worry about the HMOs or who's going to go where or what it's going to be. They want to have a little bit of control over how they feel about themselves.
All right. Well, Tom Schatz, thanks again for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
All right. Anytime. Thanks. And by the way, we are actively involved in this on our website, cagw.org, and encourage people to go there and see what's happening with this whole healthcare debate.
Once again, that was Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily.